Magic Johnson, I thought, kind of came out guns blazing.
If I can't deliver, I'm going to step down myself. She won't have to fire me. I'll step away from it, you know, because then I can't do this job.
Really intriguing quotes there that he's talking about two summers. Now, it's only a year, obviously. I'm really great at math, between now and next summer. And so effectively what he's saying is like, hey, stick with me in this year. And that made me think that he doesn't really know what's going to happen this summer. But next summer, at absolute worst, if the Lakers were able to hold kind of their powder, remember, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. I think the Battle of Bunker Hill, that was what was said as they were coming up the hill. General Mad Anthony Wayne. We need a fact checker, by the way, to make sure that some of these historical analogies that I'm making here are true.
That would be a full-time job.
Yeah, that would be a full-time job. But if you are a Lakers fan, if LeBron suddenly calls an audible and decides to stay in Cleveland, for example, and Paul George decides, you know what, I'm going to stay in Oklahoma City, people would be rending their garments. They would be panicked in the streets of Los Angeles after all the expectations about who was going to be with the Lakers this fall. But the truth of the matter is this, it's a two-year process, and I hope the Lakers would not feel panicked that they would play for a year with a ton of salary cap room or at minimum sign guys to one-year deals and be able to get out. Because next year, first of all, LeBron might stay with the Cavs for a year and wait because he's aware that he doesn't have a lot of talent that he can surround himself with in LA already. Why not stay for one more year in Cleveland and go through the decision 4.0 again next year? But you know Kawhi Leonard and Klay Thompson, at a minimum, are going to be unrestricted free agents and that they are from the LA area and that theoretically you could get those two guys to be a part of the Lakers. And I'm not saying that even if LeBron decides to stay at Cleveland, all those things, Klay Thompson unleashed and able to go full bore as opposed to being part of the greatest team in NBA history, I think would be something special. And certainly Kawhi Leonard, if you were able to watch him for one more year and you found out, okay, this guy's 100% healthy, that's the foundation of a team, even if LeBron James were not involved, that could win a championship. So, if Magic Johnson swings and misses also next summer, I agree. I think he's got to go. But with all the work they have done preparing for free agency this year, I think it's important to remember this could be a two-year process. It could be 2 years before everybody is out there. And by 2 years, I mean one more year now. I thought that was really pretty intriguing commentary from Magic Johnson. Did it make you more nervous as a Laker guy that maybe he doesn't have LeBron James in the bag, Danny G?
No, because I think we're only kind of half-guessing that LeBron might come to L.A. anyway.
So he's the favorite right now to come to L.A. We're going to talk about with John Campbell. It got down to minus 350 that LeBron James is going to be a Laker. The most recent number that I have seen, I believe, is minus 200. So the number has backed up a little bit there, and more money has been coming on in for the Cavs, which makes me think it's a two-horse race right now.
Yeah, besides Brian Windhorst, none of us really know what's going on in the mind of LeBron. We're all guessing. And it kind of makes sense, obviously, for LeBron to come to Los Angeles, which is why a lot of quote-unquote NBA experts have been pointing, you know, in the direction of him coming here. But we don't know that's going to happen. And if it doesn't, then the Lakers need to focus on what they can do right now to keep harnessing the young guys on the team and then look forward to next offseason. And so I was quickly looking up the biggest free agents of next summer.
Yep.
And then I'm sure Magic and the Lakers front office have already done the same.
Yeah, they probably have done something other than type in free agents on Google like you just did.
Yeah,
I would hope that if they're planning, so that would be more of their planning Googling.
So this would make me scared more so if Magic painted himself in a corner and was like, I'm going to definitely get some superstars this offseason. It's going to happen. No, he's saying, look, we're not sure what's going on. Plus, by the way, he doesn't want to tamper. Obviously, he's got a big X on his back right now with that. So This shows how competitive he is as well. I like it as a Lakers fan.
Have you guys seen the latest rumor on LeBron that he's going to announce his free agency destination during the trailer for Space Jam 2?
No.
Have you not seen this?
No.
Oh, this is the newest internet rage that has spiraled all over the place, is that LeBron James will announce his free agency decision. He is making Space Jam 2. I think that's – is that 100% sure? That's 100% real, right?
We had been hearing those rumors, but I never saw it confirmed.
This would be the most LeBron James thing possible announce for the Lakers during Space Jam 2. I'm going to pull this up because it's like if you type in doing the search right now, it has spread everywhere in the last, in the last 12 hours. The LeBron James Space Jam 2 rumor has taken off. And I'm trying to pull up one of the 50 articles that's up about this. And for all the craziness and zaniness that comes out of the internet, it's hard for me to even know what's real and what's fake, by the way. Now, do you guys sometimes feel that way too when you like somebody sends you a link on the internet? This is the rumor that is out there that LeBron James will reveal his free agency decision and that he will do it via his uninterrupted channel, you know, where he has the opportunity, which that's not that big of a surprise that he would announce on uninterrupted, because he announced via coming home article on SI, which was really well written and well delivered for decision 2.0 to come back to Cleveland. That the latest thing, and this is up on, 50 different sites if you go to Google News. So it's at least a rumor that has spread widely that he will reveal his free agency decision on his uninterrupted channel, which is him talking directly to fans, and that he will do it as part of the release of a new Space Jam movie.
So will it be him as a cartoon?
I don't know how the release would happen. I mean, I guess it would be him and like Bugs Bunny just hanging out, and like he's like, "Hey, Bugs Bunny, I'm going to the Lakers in L.A." And the other aspect of this is that LeBron would also do it on Instagram TV, which would probably make him a ton of money, and also is getting them a ton of ad space here, even on our show. And Instagram has become, by the way, almost more valuable than Facebook in terms of its draw on youth, and they now have a video section of Instagram. So it's longer than everything else. So that is the rumor that it will be a new media platform for LeBron James to announce his decision. Actually, from a business perspective, I think that's pretty smart. This morning, Jeff Shorts, I started off my day, as I do many mornings. My alarm goes off 4:15 a.m. I roll over. I quickly go to like two different websites. I go to ESPN.com just to check their headlines, and then I go to DrudgeReport.com to check their headlines. Two places to distill, you know, kind of the essence of what might have happened while I was sleeping overnight. And by sleeping overnight, I mean not paying attention to what's going on for like 4 hours. As I'm checking the ESPN updates, I go straight into their app and I see Greg Norman's bare ass naked. What I don't have all the ways that I could start my day. Greg Norman's naked ass is like the last thing on the roster of things that I want to start my day off with. Have you been on and then I just went in right now during our commercial break because I was like, oh, who's playing in the World Cup? Because I might mention this with Jeff. What are the matches today? And instead of seeing the World Cup matches, I got Saquon Barkley naked flipping a tire. What's going on here?
I'm just disappointed that I didn't get my invite to be the body issue again this year. It's been lost in the mail.
Aren't you with me that the only thing that's worth seeing on the body issue for men is the penis? Like, I have a long history of picturing women naked, right? Like, I don't, when a woman like covers her nipples, I have a pretty good sense what the nipples underneath her arm look like. And, you know, I have a pretty good sense of what I don't, can I say vagina? I have a pretty good sense what a vagina is going to look like.
You
know,
anyways.
Yeah, well, we'll see whether or not, I don't know if I got dropped there or not. Right? Like, I don't, like, there's not that much that women are covering up in these photos. I have no idea what Greg Norman's penis looks like. I have no idea what Yasiel Puig's penis looks like. I don't understand the purpose of taking a picture of a guy naked and having every single body part of his revealed but the penis. It seems to defeat the entire purpose.
Well, that's very on brand for being a gay Muslim. So that's
yes, exactly.
That works very well. It's funny because you know, the funny part about you saying that is a lot of guys think that privately, but they'll never ever say it publicly. We've talked about the measuring at the combine. I'm with you. Like I don't look at the body issue. I don't really have any interest in it. Yeah, they need to do that, or they just do it at the combine, and then it gets solved.
My argument, and I make this argument every year, is they measure everybody, literally every body part but the penis at the combine. And my argument for a long time has been, what if, like, they're always trying to figure out why a guy becomes a great quarterback or not? What if every quarterback who's won a Super Bowl has the exact same penis size? And that's the answer. Like, everybody's out there like, well, what about his height? What about his hand size? What about his foot size? What about his, waist to hip ratio? What if every Super Bowl winning quarterback has the exact same penis size? And I guarantee you, by the way, Belichick knows it. I guarantee, like, that the Patriots, like, they have everything. They've done the work. They've got the data that nobody else has. I guarantee you, Bill Belichick, he's like, well, the reason why he traded Garoppolo, he's like, oh, he doesn't fit. He's not the golden ratio. He doesn't fit here in the Super Bowl, like the fertile region of winning a Super Bowl title. You got to be between this length and this length. What if that's the secret?
Do people care about the body issue, like the swimsuit issue for Sports Illustrated? Is that like, still a big seller for them? Because
I don't know. I mean, like, I here's my thing. When I was a kid and the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue would come, it was a really big deal. Like in the 1980s, right. The early 90s.
You couldn't see it otherwise.
And the internet didn't exist. So, like, that you had to work hard. When I was a kid, a Playboy magazine was a huge deal. And if you got a magazine coming to your house in February and you could see a pretty girl's nipple through a bathing suit, you were like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, right? Like, you're a 12-year-old boy. There's not much better than in 1991 there being a lot of pretty girls who basically have no clothes on coming to your house and you getting to go look at it. I understand the infatuation with the swimsuit issue now, when literally there is nudity everywhere, and I certainly don't understand the infatuation with no nudity in the ESPN body issue other than some bare asses. Like, I don't understand who these people are.
The Playboy thing is interesting because I remember my dad's barbershop. You know, the barbershop always had the magazines, and when I was young, I don't know, when my dad would take me, maybe 10, 8, I don't know, and he would go in the back and, you know, get his hair washed. I would try to sneak a peek at the Playboy, but make sure, like, put it back in the exact same spot it was in, so no one knew. But that's the only time you ever got to see it, because my parents didn't have Playboy. But you're right, the swimsuit issue is.
Nudity was a big deal when we were growing up. I feel like for your average 12 to 14-year-old out there who's smarter at using the internet than any of his parents or her parents could possibly be, like, they can go on and see hardcore porn as much as they want, right? So I think nudity has lost its cachet with a younger generation, also because if you're under the age of 30, you probably have naked photos of yourself on your phone that you're regularly sending out to people, right?
Right, but also, think about this. Like, if you're a young person, Instagram is the number one social media app for young people. Half of Instagram is just women, men, modeling themselves. Like, you can see that any day you want, anytime you want.
I said before,
women are famous off Instagram for that.
If you took good-looking people off of Instagram, 95% of its market cap would collapse overnight, which is why this story about Getty Images pulling out its pictures of pretty girls from the World Cup, like, I would click on that gallery. I would get 45 seconds of enjoyment because I'm a stupid dude just flipping through looking at pretty girls who went to the World Cup, right? Like, that is never going to change. Like, all these people out there talking about, oh, masculinity is awful, misogyny. Like, men are never going to stop looking at pretty girls and enjoying it, all right? I will go to the grave that in the world, biology is predicated on men looking at women and finding them attractive. If that did not happen, you wouldn't be married, I wouldn't be married, and we wouldn't have created offspring.
What I just don't understand about these type of stories is, like, someone sees it on social media and they are so outraged that they take time out of their day, presumably they're working or they're doing something else, to then raise outrage on social media about it, like, drum up this mob to force Getty Images to take this down. I guess I don't understand the effort put behind that.
We just opened up phone lines across the nation. We're on in all 50 states and satellite radio. And I said, is there a single person out there who would be offended by a gallery of attractive women going to World Cup matches? We didn't get a single call. We got loaded lines of people who want to say, yeah, you're right. But I mean, I think that's an example of the crank and how limited their audience actually is. Don't listen to stupid people online. Use your brain instead of theirs.
Like, what, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I think I used to be way more, this is, you know, probably 2-3 years ago, I thought social media was kind of like the, you know, the, not the lifeblood, but like you could get a great grasp of society on social media. And then the election happened, I realized, nope, that doesn't really work that way. And it still doesn't work that way. I mean, social media is such a limited range of people in the country, and it's mostly one view. I mean, I'll tell you what, my wife would probably click on that gallery, too. I mean, I don't understand.
Lots of women would, too. I mean, like, women like to look at pretty women, too. And you could have sprinkled in two dudes. You could have put Ronaldo in there half the way through, shirtless, and everybody would have loved that. Quick questions for you.
Don't get that rich, man.
Yeah, quick questions for you. Where does LeBron go? Where does Kawhi go? And what would you do if you had to make a decision on Jameis Winston?
Okay, so LeBron, I think, goes to L.A. I mean, there's a couple of things that are interesting here. He could do a one-on-one, where he signs with the Cavs, like, for one more year and then kind of just feels out what happens this year in free agency,
yep.
Right? Because the Lakers could end up with, with just Paul George, let's say, in free agency, and then that might not be enough for LeBron. I mean, there's no perfect spot for LeBron, but I think in the end, he goes to Los Angeles. All the odds have moved that way. I mean, either L.A. or Cleveland, it feels like. And it feels like it's going to be quick. It's going to come out like, I mean, he's going to say, I'm going to L.A., and just that's the end of it. Kawhi, I think if they get a great package, I think they'll trade him. It's hard for, and I've dealt with this being injured a lot, if you don't trust the training staff at your spot, then you're not going to want to play there. I mean, it's plain and simple. He has a little bit of leverage. Jameis Winston is interesting because we don't actually know what the punishment's going to be quite yet. And here's the thing. The NFL has a set policy now on domestic violence and sexual assault, right? 6 games for that. I can't see any way they give him 3. I don't understand how the NFL can have the NFL, again, investigations, they don't do right. It shouldn't be the business of doing that. But again, if you're going to suspend him, it has to be 6 games or no games. Like, there can't be a plea deal where he gets 3 games. And if I'm the Bucks, you know, this was an incident in 2016. So you have to take that into account about what he has become now versus what he was maybe when he was a little bit younger, which was obviously immature and selfish. So I think the Bucks probably keep him, but the NFL's got to give him 6 games or give him no games.
I agree. I think he goes 6 games or no games. That's Jeff Schwartz. We'll talk to him next week. Appreciate the time, my man. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
I had a boa constrictor stuck to my face.
Sam, you have a what?
This is Animal Thunderdome.
What do we got, Danny G?
All right, Clay, I know how you love snakes. This story is coming to us from Bodrock, which is in eastern India. Incredible to see this photo. I'm going to have to tweet it out, and maybe you can retweet it. 111 cobra babies were rescued from a house in Shyampur village in Bodrock on this past Saturday. The cobra babies are about 2 to 3 days old. They were found crawling under the floor of this mud house owned by one Biju Bhuyan. He's an agriculture worker there, and the area was in full panic after the news spread. Thousands of people gathered at the house to witness these snake babies. Officials say that they've launched a search for the adult snakes because, obviously, these adult snakes could cause a serious threat to residents there locally. There is a quote
here.
Got
to sell the house. Might have to burn the village.
Oh, man.
Not an expert.
It's a mud house. How do you burn a mud house?
I think it would burn, right?
Here's the surprising part of the story. Only 26 eggshells were found from the ground. So they're trying to figure out how in the hell 111 cobra babies are there with only 26 eggshells. But the bigger concern is obviously the adults. They do not know where these adult cobras are.
Yeah, see, the cobra thing. I'm anti-snake. I know some people are get triggered when I say this. I'd be fine if there were no snakes in the world. Like, I think Ireland, what do they say, St. Patrick chased all the snakes out. God bless St. Patrick. I don't know why snakes need to exist.
I agree with you there, Clay.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if we just wiped out the entire snake species, I think the world would be a better place.
All right, quickly here, a notorious African flamingo who escaped from a zoo in Kansas back in 2005 was spotted on the Texas coast this past Monday afternoon.
How do we know it's the same flamingo?
People have been spotting this same flamingo and putting it on YouTube.
Is there only one flamingo loose in the entire country?
Well, you'd have to see the video. You can notice, I mean, his markings especially, they know it's the same flamingo from 2005.
So the flamingo got from Kansas to the coast?
Yeah, they call him number 492. This flamingo's made its break from this Kansas zoo after keepers failed to clip its wings. So it's been flying around several states since its escape.
I don't buy it. I'm sorry. Like, well, all the drug dealers have flamingos. Can flamingos really fly?
But this is a unique African flamingo. So
we found out earlier this week that there are more tigers in the state of Texas than there are in the entire world.
Right,
combined.
But this African flamingo is in states where you don't see any other flamingos, so people
what
know.
What I'm saying is, I don't
refugee
buy that.
From the Kansas Zoo.
There's got. Was it a refugee?
Is that the right phrase? An escapee.
Is it even an escapee? Like, I got to tell you, I don't buy that. There's only one flamingo loose in the whole state of Texas. Texas is a big place.
I don't know. You're ruining this story.
Well, I just am skeptical. You have reported things that have not been true on the Animal Thunderdome, and now that you're promoted to replace Jason Martin, you're stepping into a bigger chair.
I resemble those remarks.
If we blow it, like I think we blew it yesterday, by the way, I don't think it was officially the 30th anniversary of Coming to America.
ABC 13 in Texas reported this story, so we blame them.
The flamingo or Coming to America?
The flamingo story. As far as Wikipedia.
Coming to America is on you, because that's actually not
until
Thursday.
Well, I checked on Wikipedia. It said June 26th.
It's June 29th, I think.
It said
we'll get
the
to that
26th.
During the break. We're just spreading all sorts of misinformation. Britt McHenry is with us, celebrating still, potentially, the Washington Capitals' big championship. We'll get to that in a minute, but I teased this as we came in. I want Britt to hear this. I don't know if she saw me tweet out a picture. There's a big survey that just hit this morning from TexasTribune.org, and if you're in the state of Texas, they're an independent, nonpartisan a news-gathering organization. This is jointly sponsored with the University of Texas. So it covers the entire state of Texas. I think everybody out there would acknowledge Texas loves football, high school, college, and pro. This is going to blow your mind. Your opinion of the NFL in the state of Texas. Favorable, 26%. Unfavorable, 47% of Texans have an unfavorable opinion of the NFL right now. 27% have no opinion. White people in the state of Texas, 20% of them have a favorable viewing of the NFL right now. 55% of them have an unfavorable view. Hispanics, 29% favorable, 39% unfavorable. Black guys and girls, 49% favorable, 24% unfavorable. I would make the argument, I haven't seen like this over the course of years and years past, I would argue that the rest of the nation in Texas, the rest of the football fan base, used to look like the numbers for black people in this survey, 49% favorable. Now, again, the state of Texas as a whole, 26% favorability ratings. Britt, if you are an NFL owner or executive, when you see those numbers, your reaction is what?
You're ripping your hair out. I think we saw Jerry Jones become as vocal as he could be, other than that awkward, like, what was it, a Monday night game? Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys was, you know, putting his arms over the players and knelt down pregame with them before the anthem and just looked so uncomfortable doing it. But, you know, he was one of the most vocal owners against the protests. And, you know, football, that's like their bread and butter in Texas. I mean, you grow up, I have family that lives near Waco in a very small town called Hubbard, Texas. And, you know, downtown is like a little grocery store and a Dairy Queen. And their big event is, you know, Friday Night Lights and then watching the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. So for that state to fall out of favor with the NFL, it's pretty telling. And I can tell you, Clay, I was just there like 10 days ago. Granted, I was speaking at a GOP convention, so you can only imagine what the people there thought about the NFL. But, you know, when I drove up to Tyler, Texas after that and have a little bit of vacation, and people were disgusted with the NFL, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, it's not like people have stopped going to high school football games. It's not like they've stopped rooting for Texas A&M, for Texas, for Texas Tech, Baylor, you know, all the great programs, TCU, that exist in that state in general. And inevitably, I've forgotten somebody, the Houston Cougars. Anyway, there's lots of good college football in Texas as well. And to me, when I see those numbers, I just think I totally understand now why Jerry Jones has been as outspoken as he has, because he sees that data. I also understand why Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans, has made a lot of the comments he has, that we got to get back to football. And when I see those numbers, that's the heartbeat of the NFL. There probably is no state, Dallas Cowboys, Houston Texans, that loves football, I would argue, more than maybe Alabama. Maybe Alabama is number one, but Texas has got to be number two, and they're close to one and two. There's not much difference between those. When you're losing your base, you're in trouble. So that's where I wanted to start with you. Now, I want to go to another interesting question. I think you've covered him some in the NFL, Jameis Winston. If you are NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, and the Uber story has come out about the alleged groping, Jameis Winston, when he was at FSU, had the rape investigation that went on for 2 years. He was never charged in that case, but it was ugly. Tallahassee police did not seem to do a good job. He's had all sorts of other off-the-field related incidents that are much less serious, stealing crab legs, screaming viral internet memes, you know, doing damage to an apartment building, thousands of dollars of damage with BB guns. What would you do? I want to ask you first, if you were Commissioner Roger Goodell, this gets brought to your desk and they say, here's the report. We, you know, this allegation is out there. We're in the modern Me Too era. Jameis Winston has a messy past. I think it's the kindest you could say about what has happened to him off the field during his tenure as a public figure. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
I think you have to take action. And isn't there right now, I mean, they have a 3-game suspension.
Yeah, exactly. What has been reported so far is that he's going to get a 3-game suspension. The max under like the domestic violence policy that they adopted after Ray Rice was 6. I think what a lot of people are going to respond is, oh, so you can sexually assault a woman like he's alleged to have done in an Uber and only miss 3 games. So I think that's going to be an ugly look if they pick 3.
Yeah, it's at least his action, though. I mean, how much have we seen of Roger Goodell just being reactive to stories? And it's interesting for me in a way because I have sat down with Jameis Winston a few times, Clay. He was always very, very nice to me, very courteous. So it's like a dichotomy of seeing a player who was nothing but accommodating, which, as you know, working around sports doesn't always happen that way, and had, you know, great manners. And, you know, but that doesn't erase his history, all the instances that you discussed. So they had to finally take action. It's a dicey subject. I mean, just the other day, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, I pointed out how he has a 3-game suspension, how, you know, domestic violence, I said, you know, is rampant. And then I had a couple NFL players take offense to that and were saying how wrong I was and kind of trying to belittle me on Twitter. And it's like, okay, what other league, I'll pose this question to you, Clay, what other league has this much frequency of domestic violence cases? I think in 2014, according to 538.com, I saw a domestic violence accounts for 48% of the violent arrests in that league. Like, what other league is that in the news for these cases? I feel like the NFL leads everything in that category. And it's
I don't think there's any doubt. What's scary I think, is the NFL for pro sports leagues, undoubtedly for domestic violence, has more issues. Baseball has had some that are very prominent. Hockey has had a couple, and certainly the NBA has had a few every now and then. But by and large, this has been an NFL story. So every league, no league is immune from it. But what was amazing to me when I saw this was the NFL rate, while it seems high to us because we see all of them, is actually a lot lower than the rate for military officers and soldiers and for police officers and the nation as a whole, which to me just reflects, hey, we have way too much domestic violence. And the NFL in many ways reflects our national issues with domestic violence more than it kind of is the cause of them. But I was going to say, so on top of that, I'm curious, you said you've sat down with him and everything else. Mm-hmm. I think the NFL has a decision to make here. What do the Bucks do? Because they're theoretically going to be on the hook for $20 million plus a year in the years ahead. How ugly do you think this gets for the Bucks? Given, again, Jameis Winston, I think a lot of people said, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt over what might have happened in college, but you don't usually get the benefit of the doubt a second time.
Yeah, and I mean, accepting any sort of suspension to a degree is accepting fault, right? So they will stand by him. I've never seen a team more adamantly defend him the way that they do in terms of when I used to cover football for ESPN. I mean, they always were very pro-Jameis. He has a great relationship within that locker room. I actually did a whole feature on it for Sunday NFL Countdown. So I know, speaking on and off camera, how much the guys actually do like him, but you can't, in this era when the sensitivity radar is through the roof, I think they have to just wear it and accept it, but that's going to be a very interesting dynamic for the fan base, because that's essentially admitting that there's truth to it, you know? But, I mean, for me, and I know there's a lot of Jameis fans probably listening who are in Tampa, it's like, at this point, there's just too many instances where you have to just sort of wear it. I mean, how many more examples of behavioral issues can we deal with Jameis before he really just says, okay, this has to happen?
We're talking to Britt McHenry. Follow her on Twitter at Britt McHenry. This is a story that I don't know if you've even seen, but I think you will enjoy reacting to. So Getty Images, which I'm sure you're familiar with over the years, they take pictures of a lot of different sporting events. They will share them for articles and whatnot. This is an editor's note. They had to issue an apology. I want you to see what they're apologizing for. Earlier, we published a piece called World Cup 2018, The Sexiest Fans, that did not meet our editorial standards. We regret the error and have removed the piece. There are many interesting stories to tell about the World Cup, and we acknowledge this was not one of them. Can you believe that it's offensive now to put up pictures of pretty girls inside of a soccer stadium and that that's, unacceptable now?
Did they have Sarah Spain writing in and complaining? Even though
that's right. You'll appreciate this, Britt, because my belief, and I know you feel this way too in a lot of stories, is that we've allowed social media to so drive people insane. I said earlier when we talked about this story, and for those of you listening on the podcast, you'll have heard it too. I opened up the phone lines and I said, we're on in all 50 states right now. We are on satellite radio. I want anyone out there in our listening audience who believes that this was inappropriate of Getty Images and that they should apologize to call in and share their argument for why that is. Not one single call, all 50 states and everybody listening on satellite radio. I think that right now, for people who are just starting off their day and they just heard that story, there's not a single person out there who's like, oh, you know what? It's unacceptable for there to be pictures taken inside soccer stadiums of pretty girls who are there at the World Cup rooting for their team and to have a gallery. Can you believe that they apologize for this?
No, it's absurd, but it's reflective of every social issue now, Clay. It's like you can't even reason on any topic. I mean, my goodness, you want to bring more serious issues like abortion and reproductive issues and stuff like that. I don't even go there anymore. That's something I won't even touch on social media, because you will be absolutely wrong if you bring any sort of reasoned, common sense approach to it. I mean, all I've said about women's issues like this is like, look, if you're stripping down and getting butt naked, I don't really see how that is female empowerment. It's not empowering me. Sorry. You look hot,
yeah, look,
but it
I will speak. Yeah, I will speak as a guy. When I see a girl and she's naked and she has equality written on her arm, I ain't looking at the arm. All right? That's just me. Now, there may be some guys out there who are like, oh, it's so powerful that she wrote something on her arm. Most guys I know are not looking at the arm. All right? That's just – that's the, like that is the guy perspective. So it may be empowering to you. You could have the right – my argument is I am a humanist. Like, you should be able to do anything legal that you want to do that makes you happier, right? And whatever that is, libertarian, whatever you want to call that, I'm totally fine with it. But don't argue to me that you are advancing the cause of feminism to the nth degree because you decided to pose naked.
Yeah, no, not that. And sometimes just, you know, I just pointed out, like, look, if you're going to wear really skimpy clothing, like, there's a strong chance that you're going to be seen in a sexual light. And I've been very, I feel like I've been very common sense approach about a lot of this stuff. But, of course, feminists just want to attack you at any sort of mention or, you know, you point out, hey, Sarah Spain, you don't really speak for all women when you sold yourself as a date on eBay. I don't know.
That
like,
was
you
so
get
amazing.
For it.
Yes.
So, but I for on that particular issue, I think it's absolutely absurd. Like, look, why do women go and buy, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars in their lifetime on makeup and, you know, some sexy clothing? It's like to be looked at as desirable is a nice thing. And if I was at a game and put on a list like that and you're fully clothed and you're having fun at the World Cup, I would find it flattering. Like, why is it not unacceptable to be seen as a beautiful woman? I don't understand. But I don't understand a lot of stuff when it comes to
Amen.
Like, last job liberal issues.
Last question for you. What did it mean for Washington, D.C., and for you as a Washington Capitals fan to end that quarter century of futility and win a title? I know it's been a couple of weeks now, but how cool was the experience? What did it mean for the city?
So cool. I clearly was too hungover to call it the outkick. I was a bad friend. I'm sorry, Clay. It was unreal. Like, when they won, so they were in Las Vegas. I didn't travel there. I had thought about it, but I was watching in a bar, and they had gone down. It was the first time, I think, in that series they had really, since game one, had trailed. And I just got so mad, Clay. I was like, oh, here we go again. Washington Capitals, here we go again. And I was about to leave and watch it on my phone still, but I didn't want to be there. And then, of course, they came back. They tied it. When they won, that place erupted, and I cabbed it down. It was like a $50 cab to go maybe a mile. I cabbed to outside the arena, and I mean, there was hundreds of thousands of people outside just coming out of office buildings, the streets. It was awesome. It was the first time, in 26 years, I think, like, a major team has won a championship in D.C. So we all went a little bit crazy. I'm still not over it. It was like the pinnacle of my life.
Awesome for Britt McHenry. We'll talk to her again soon. Big news coming from her. Can't wait to share that. Britt, thanks for waking up early with us.
Thanks for having me.